Hinata? Sakura? Or who's the next sports manga protagonist gonna be? Tenten?
Ah?
You have to have read Naruto to understand this joke. Oh, bloody hell. Welcome, 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 welcome to the mini podcast edition of Manga Mosaic, when we take a look at jump starts and one-shots old and new. I'm Wensleydale Cheddar, and with me is my good friend Dr. Nova. Hello.
Hello.
Today this is a milestone, probably, for Manga Mosaic, a bit of a milestone, since we are discussing a sports series for the first time. We are discussing Beast Children by Kento Terasaka, a 25-chapter series that spanned from May 26, 2019, till December the 1st, 2019. It is a rugby manga. Among Terasaka's previous works was Ringo, which was also a sports series that ran in Jump Giga. Dr. Nova, I guess my first question would be, what's your experience with sports series? Because mine is pretty limited.
It's weird for me. I'm not a sports guy at all. I don't really like watching sports. I don't really like talking about sports at all. But for the most part, sports manga that are good, I love. I love iShield 21. It's still one of the best manga I think I've ever read. Cross Manage was excellent. Though personally, I am really happy that Kaito Sensei moved on to Blue Flag. Because that's one of my favorites in the older magazine right now, but Cross Manage was great.
I do have to read that.
It's hard to call it an arc, because Blue Flag doesn't really have arcs, but the last stretch of chapters have just been phenomenal, particularly for a Japanese series, just in terms of its politics. So that's really, really good. Haikyuu, I fully acknowledge, is excellent. I have some trouble with the art. But Haikyuu is very, very good. What I have found, though, is that sports manga executed badly are one of the hardest things in the world for me to read. You know, it's something that clearly has a lot of passionate work behind it that just isn't appealing to me at all, isn't connecting with me at all. And, you know, that can sometimes be tricky to get through.
I am remembering one series we recapped back on Stammer Stream, Robot X Laser Beam, which only I ended up reading.
There's that. There was a swimming manga not too long ago.
Best Blue.
Best Blue, that was it. That sort of had a similar problem where, like, you can tell that the creator has a lot of passion behind it. The issue that sports mangas always, you know, have to battle with, well, there are two issues, both of which we will actually get into when we talk about Beast Children, because I think the series unfortunately does suffer from both. But the first one is that by nature of a sports manga, sports have rules. And you need to explain the rules, you need to explain how things work, because a moment won't be cool if you don't understand the context in the sports manga. You know, on a recent episode of Hoven's podcast, we were talking about the issue with Samurai 8 right now, which is that there's just so much exposition.
Oh my god, there is so much.
Yeah, that you get drowned in it completely, which is why I've recently dropped the series, just because I'm like, this is just homework at this point. But sports manga, you know, not to their, you know, it's not their fault, it's the trappings of the genre. They have to explain the rules, and it's about whether or not you can make that explanation interesting, engaging, and memorable, because if you don't remember the rules, then again, the moments won't be cool, and that's one of the biggest pitfalls that a lot of series fall into, I find.
And you have to do it at the right time, too, since by the nature of Shonen Jump, you have to draw, in this magazine at least, you have to draw your readers in the first three chapters. It depends on how important the rules are going to be for your series. In team sports, you have to, manga like Haikyuu and for example, iShield 21, which I also love to death, kind of tricked the reader into introducing the cars, since they have, for example, a lot of temporary members at the start just to play, and then they recruit newer and newer characters along the way. And this series tries to kind of introduce the whole team at once, but doesn't really put a lot of pressure on which are the important members. It is a problem when you have a lot of character designs that are a bit similar to one another.
Yeah, it's there are a couple things to help differentiate that. And actually, one of the reasons Haikyuu is so hard to read for me is that one of the easiest things to do is uniforms. That's what iShield 21 did so well. It's also what CrossManage did so well, is that if the characters' uniforms are very, very different and distinctive and look cool, that can really help differentiate. An issue with Haikyuu is that all the uniforms just look really, really similar to me.
Yeah, and also in both iShield 21 and CrossManage, you had a variety of different body types for the players.
Different body types, different hairstyles, different facial structures. It also helped, and again, this is not like to dunk on Haikyuu because Haikyuu is amazing. But iShield 21 and CrossManage did have more detailed character designs, which also helps. To some degree, that was a problem I had with Beast Children. Some of the designs I think in this series are very good. Some of them I think are just a little bit by the numbers. But, at a certain point, particularly in sports where there's a crap ton of players, like volleyball, like football, like rugby, you really need to be able to tell who's who. And this does become a problem in this series sometimes, where I think that, when it's like a scrum, all the players are smashing against each other, there are a couple moments where I'm like, okay, but who's who and who's winning? And I don't know what's happening right now. It's cool. It looks cool. But that can be an issue. And the other issue that I was sort of getting to earlier is that with team sports, you can't actually play until you have a team. And the issue with that is that sports manga all usually have to just introduce a ton of characters all at once just to be like, okay, now we can actually play the sport.
As I said, some manga kind of get around it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there are unavoidable comparisons between Beast Children and other manga. For example, this and Haikyuu both does the bait and switch with the rival of the main character.
Mm-hmm.
So in Haikyuu, the rival kind of turns out to be a long-running team member. And in this, who we think will become Sakura's team member actually becomes his rival.
That was probably my favorite moment in the entire series.
Yeah,
it's such a great ending to the chapter to be like, yeah, we're gonna play rugby together. Fuck, where is he? Oh fuck, he tricked me.
This series has a lot of fun kind of jokes that I kind of missed the first time reading that. So there is the first chapter where when they have a running practice and Shin and Sakura are kind of running head to head. The speed is incredible, and Sora, Sakura's best friend, is kind of running behind them, but they're running so fast. He has this intense panel where he says, at this point, there is only one thing to do. Then the next panel, he's just resting on the bench. I love that moment.
There is some, and this is one thing I will say for the series, it doesn't always land, but I do appreciate the effort of humor that this series does attempt. Honestly, probably my favorite moments are all early on. When Sakura runs into, like, this big Hulk. Oh, he runs into Toriko, essentially.
He does look like that, yeah.
We're going to play rugby together, and they just jump out the window together. And it's great. Like, and again, there's like the best friend character who I'm sad we didn't get to see that much more of, who, distracts like a teacher by genuinely bringing up problems he's having with the homework, and the teacher just can't help himself. again, particularly early on, because, a large portion of the series afterwards, by virtue of the fact it's not that long, is a rugby match. So there isn't a ton of time for moments of levity in there. But I do think this series did have a very genuine sense of humor, which I find in all my favorite sports manga that exist. You know, Eyeshield had a fantastic sense of humor. It's one of the funniest manga I've ever read. You know, Haikyuu has some of my favorite jokes, like just ones I can quote all day, and cross-manage. Kaito was an excellent comedic writer. And, you know, he tried with two different sports, actually. He tried with lacrosse and he tried with baseball, I think.
Yeah.
Was the second series he had? I think, you know, when this cast does kind of have time to bounce off each other, it's not bad. I think the issue is that, I'll just gonna say, I don't really remember most of the characters in this series.
It is definitely true. Like, Sakura is an engaging protagonist for the most part for me. The first chapter is very, very strong in introducing him, and he endeared himself to me when excited he was to train with Yukito in chapter one. But his enthusiasm kind of gets grating when the focus is entirely on him. He kind of has a similar problem for me like Emma does in The Promised Neverland. She is kind of surrounded by uninteresting supporting cast members, and that makes him kind of boring pretty quickly.
Yeah, what happens at a certain point is that, you know, Sakura goes to this new school, and he's like, and here's the team you'll be joining. And as I said before, this is always one of the hardest parts to pull off. The way Eyeshield went around it, to the point that it's not until, like, volume 18 that we finally have the full team. And the way Haikyuu did it is it's like, okay, there are four characters trying out for the team. There are three characters already on the team. And then there are a couple people here and there who we kind of have to get back. We got to bring the band back together, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is that, in this case, Sakura is joining a team that already exists, that already has a pre-established relationship. Like, they already have a dynamic that Sakura is just kind of entering into now. And they're already hot shit. Kind of like they're already like, oh, this team's fucking amazing. And the final issue, and this is gonna seem weird, all of them are cool, and that doesn't seem like a bad thing, but it does mean that all of them kind of blend together a little bit in the first introduction. Like, oh, this guy's so cool, and this guy's so cool, and this guy's so cool, and that guy's really cool.
There really isn't an underdog factor, is it? Is there?
There's no underdog factor, and it's also, you know, it's not quite to Prince of Tennis levels, where it's like, well, fuck, these guys are always going to win. Like, you know, there's never going to be a loss, but it does come to a certain point where it's like, but what does, why is Sakura here? And that's the big thing in sports manga, is why does the team need this protagonist? In Eyeshield 21, the reason they needed Senna is because no one on the team could run as fast as him. You know, in Eyeshield 21, every player was extraordinarily specialized, which helped for really cool moments, and also made it so each player could take ownership of those moments, because, like, oh, only they could have done this. And the reason they needed Senna is nobody could run as fast as him. In Haikyuu, the reason they need Hinata is because not only does he have this extraordinary tenacity, but he is the perfect decoy. You know, nobody thinks he can jump as fast as he can or as high as he can. He's a very, very skilled all-rounder. And overall, he's a huge asset to the team in ways that nobody else really brings to the table. When Sakura joins the team, it's sort of like, but do they really need him? Because they already seem awesome. And it's like, well, we need a little guy. I mean, like, do you? It's rugby. Like, I think you're all supposed to be huge.
I mean, they do kind of mention that he is supposed to be the fangs for the team's fangless beast, but I guess they don't really have time to define that since they don't establish all the characters in the team well. So
yeah, they try to say something along the lines of, okay, but Sakura is really fast, and you know that is something, but. Sports manga, unembellished, can be extraordinarily boring. When I say unembellished, I mean through art. Eyeshield 21, and here's the thing. There is a line where it's hard to cross. Like, Eyeshield 21, I thought, was the perfect middle ground where it would have these really, really cool visuals. You know, like, oh, it's like fires behind him, or it's like he's soaring through the air on wings. But it wasn't literal. You know, if you go too far, you get to Prince of Tennis levels where, you know, that guy just broke that guy's fucking nose with a tennis ball. And for some reason, that made him win. Like, it doesn't really work. Haikyuu does this, you know, sometimes. Haikyuu has very dynamic art in those moments in the sense that it's very good at sort of like stretching out a panel to make something look really good. This manga doesn't do it as much in the sense that sometimes you're looking at a match and it's really cool, but there's some times where, you know, you're just kind of watching people run. It's like, that guy's running so good. And it's like, I bet he is, but it's not a moving medium. It's a still image. I'll take your word for it.
I do agree that that there are times when the manga gets a bit low energy sometimes. I do still like the very dynamic and expressive full-page spreads or two-page spreads. Maybe that's a hot take, but I think kind of like World Trigger, this manga gets better with a reread. My first read-through of this was pretty meh on it, similarly compared to World Trigger, because World Trigger also has a fucking cast of thousands that... I couldn't remember the first time. I wonder how if it continued, if it gained some more interest, if it would actually capture my heart the same way World Trigger did.
And I think what's worth noting is because I'm still sort of outspoken in the sense that like I still have some issues with the way World Trigger started. You know, there's still an arc early on in World Trigger that I don't really like at all. But I can still appreciate, it's not for me. But World Trigger did get better with its character designs. There are still some character designs early on that I don't love. Like, I don't like the two redheaded members of Arashiyama Squad. Just because, like, I like them as characters. Their designs just don't really do a lot for me. And early on, we had a lot of, like, characters who looked a little bit similar, but
yeah,
I think
Arashiyama himself is basically recolored Jin.
Yeah, and even then, like, I there are other characters who like show up pretty close after him, like, but these also look really similar. Like, it's like, all right, he is Kodera and he like has glasses and like but he kind of looks like the other snipers a little bit. Like, are they all redheaded dudes? But World Trigger, I think, actually later on had much more interesting designs. And again, World Trigger has more interesting uniforms for its characters. Now, don't get me wrong, and this is a World Trigger side tangent, I'm sorry, I'm going to get off that in a moment. But like, not all the World Trigger designs are still great. I think Yuba is a fantastic design, but I think the two other members of his squad are a little bit boring. But at the same time, you know, they're still great designs. All of Ikoma Squad looks great. Kageyura looks great. You know, there have been lots of other great character designs along the way. But what comes into issue sometimes here is that, for the most part, a lot of the body types are somewhat similar, which is, you know, the sport. Rugby is a bunch of really big people. I get it. That's fine. But there does come a certain point where, you know, when you don't know the other members of the other team as well, it can be a little bit hard to tell, like, okay, is that somebody on the other team? Or do I just not remember this goddamn guy?
I mean, you could have a lot of fun with really big guys. Have one character like have a really big torso, have the other character be really round. I guess maybe we should talk a bit some more about the characters themselves. I find Shin interesting in his eccentricity, but him just being Toriko. I don't know. I find his design kind of uninspired, and it doesn't really distinguish him from his teammates. Now, as captain, he kind of gets the most interesting interactions from each character, especially with Yukito and Sora, Sakura's friend, who kind of gets into rugby despite himself. I wish Shin got explored more as the manga progressed, if continued. Sora, I like quite fine in theory, but for the archetype, he kind of should have been way more interesting. The manga ended before he could do that, since he couldn't really participate in any matches. I liked his humor well enough, I guess. I don't really have a lot to say about Wanibuchi. The one advantage that Beast Children has over iShield 21 is that they build up the kicker better, since after Musashi first appears in iShield 21, he kind of never does anything else once he joins the team.
Kinda. I mean, yeah, I do think this manga does utilize its cast as best it can for the short time it has.
Yeah.
I mean, part of the issue is that, you know, by the virtue of they need to keep this match competitive, they accidentally keep undercutting some of their characters. There are a couple moments where, you know, we're first introduced to this member of the team's specialty. And it's like, here's why he's amazing. Here's why he's so cool. This guy always keeps his cool. For this guy, it's just a straight line forward. Ah, fuck, he got beat. And that happens a couple times where the introduction to this character's, you know, skill is sort of immediately undercut by a member of the opposite team taking them down, which isn't bad. Quite on the contrary, it's actually very good when you can build off of it. But there were a couple times where that's just kind of where that storyline ends. One of my favorite matches in iShield 21, actually my favorite match for a very long time, is the Poseidon match. Where both Komatsubi and Senna just get wrecked by these two new characters who are two of the best in the entire series and do not do enough later on. They just get completely wrecked by them, but the match is about them slowly but surely learning how to counter them and then move forward. And this series, again, not necessarily its fault, does not have enough time to, you know, give each character a moment of redemption. Which is unfortunate, because I do think that, like, some of these moments in theory are cool. And again, like, when you can add a poetic aspect to why this guy throws a ball good, I do enjoy it. Yeah, because that's one of my favorite parts of sports manga, is when it just gets so over the top that they just describe something like so blasé as like, well, that guy threw a ball at another guy, as that guy is the archer, never missing his mark as his shot sails through the summer sky, killing 15 pigeons. Like, it's, you know, it's great. Like, it's a lot of fun.
That's why Food Balls should have been a sports manga.
Yeah, instead of... you can check out that podcast too if you go in our backlog.
So you've mentioned opponents. I don't think
yeah.
This manga builds them up well at all.
It doesn't have time, really.
One opponent they do have time to build up though is Yukito, whom I find a bit boring, but serviceable, I guess. I did like his backstory, and do like some small moments, like he and Sakura can talk hobby as friends before match. just putting so much identity of the opposing team on him only serves to make him less interesting, as he has kind of no one to interact with. It's kind of similar to how much focus there is on Sakura, kind of makes him less interesting.
Yeah, it's it always just does kind of happen with these kinds of series, where at a certain point they're just like, fuck, we just got to do this thing right now. So they just throw in like all these different characters and they just, you know, try to push stuff forward. Oddly enough, this manga kind of does both, where it's like, all right, we're ending. Here's this really cool match. Here's all these characters. How do we end? I guess they practice a little bit. So it kind of does both. It both does the, like, let's do a really cool thing right now, and also the, and they had many more adventures, and we don't sort of end this manga in, like, a big holy shit moment.
So what did you think about the most impactful character in the series, Iki?
I'm bad with names. Which one's Iki again?
That's Yukito's dad, the player who died on the field.
Oh, the guy that died. Yeah. I don't think... this is a personal sticking point because I understand it's shonen. I don't think the rest of this manga is unrealistic enough to fully have a moment like that feel appropriate. Because it is a big, awesome shonen moment of like, and he died on the field. But it's also like, but nothing else in this manga is really ever that over the top again.
Yeah.
So, it does feel a little bit out of place. It's one of those cases where, like, I 100% agree with his son when he's like, no, fuck rugby. Like, my dad was more interested in, like, dying on the field than raising me.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Yukito didn't hate rugby as much as I expected him to.
Yeah, because he does sort of have the thing of just, like, no, I don't really want... Like, I'm good at it, but I don't really want to play it early on. But that does not last nearly as long as I thought it was going to.
Yeah. I have kind of mixed feelings on, romanticizing the mentality of working yourself to death.
Yeah.
On the one hand, it is a pretty BAMF moment. On the other hand, it is kind of a real problem in Japan.
Yeah.
You do have a point that it poses a kind of inconsistency of tone.
It's just a little bit strange because, it's such like a over-the-top moment that the rest of the series doesn't really follow after, because the rest of the series is, for the most part, almost a little bit more understated.
Yeah. It kind of struggles with those breakthrough moments in games, since they're not really well explained, and I feel like the manga wants to have this impact, but it doesn't really come through.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like a bit of whiplash when you read, like, the first chapter and the last chapter. Because the last chapter is, there is sort of, like, here is this backstory, a couple flashbacks. And then it's just sort of, like, them practicing. And it's understated. Like, it's very realistic. There's not really any, like, crazy art, like, oh, this pass is like a dinosaur. It's like, no, I'm just gonna draw them doing practicing the play. which again, it's not a bad thing. It does sort of make me wonder, like, yeah, but this series started with a dude walking off onto a field and dying at like 30 years old because he was so sporty. And I don't know, it's one of those things where I sort of wonder, like, am I the weirdo for being like, because somebody could really just do the argument of like, dude, it's fucking shonen. And, like, I don't really have an argument against that. I guess it's just sort of like, yeah, but you started at, like, such this peak of, like, over-the-topness, and then you just kind of, like, scaled it back afterwards.
Yeah. And there is a moment in the later part of the backstory from Yukito's point of view where Ikki kind of expects that he's going to die, and thus he sends his son away to watch him from his seat, I guess. Yeah, no, you're definitely right that there is a kind of a tone whiplash.
It is an unfortunately really funny moment to be like, oh shit, I'm about to die. Hey, my child son, check this shit out. Like, it is a moment of this, like, dude, he's like six.
Watch me die from the crowd. I'm sure that this won't traumatize you for the rest of your life.
This will inspire you so much when you go back to grade two to color in books. like, when you give them your lunch money, take your sippy cup with pride, my son.
So yeah, overall, I enjoyed reading this manga quite well, and I kind of wish it continued just to see if it would grab my interest. But I guess I'm also happy with what I had. Final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is, personally, I think this is a pretty decent series. I guess for me, when I look at this series, I just sort of think, like, you could have pushed this further, because in my personal opinion, I may have come off as saying that, like, that moment is too over the top. It's not. It's too over the top for what the series becomes. But I think if we had stayed in that vein, this would have been great, because I was shocked that it took this long for Japan to like get a rugby manga going. I'm sure there's been one before, but you know, rugby is one of those sports that I always think, but this is perfect for shonen manga. Like, it's giant muscly dudes, they don't even wear helmets, they're like crashing into each other, the field is like muddy and it's dirty. Like, this seems perfect. I mean, rugby is not a hugely popular sport. Andy Parsons, who's a comedian who lives in Britain, has a fantastic joke about the United Kingdom's relationship to rugby, where he says only 8 countries in the world give a shit about rugby, and 4 of them are us. Which, you know, I do understand that rugby is not huge, but I've always thought rugby is a perfect manga for shonen, you know, to base around. You know, I just think that this series isn't over the top enough. You know, I was kind of hoping for, like, bigger visuals, more, like, crashing and stuff like that. But I guess I can give this series the medal that it does treat its black characters a lot better than Ice Shield 21 did.
Oh, yeah. black players have magical legs that let them jump real far.
It was the craziest thing for me, because I was reading this manga online for a while, and I started collecting the volumes, and I read it online. I'm like, God, I hope this was a horrible fan translation. And then I read, like, the official shonen volumes released in North America, and I'm like, oh no, they were actually toning it down a little bit. This is exactly what they said.
Yeah, I was kind of going to say, yeah, I think we're all missing Ice Shield 21 very much. But now that I think about it, maybe we're not. No, I still am. Ice Shield 21 is a great manga. I wish it handled its ethnicity politics differently, but, you know.
And you can't even say that, like, you know, for a little bit, it was like that, but it's not later on. I'm like, oh no, when they get to America, it gets bad again. They have a character named Tonka.
All right. So that is going to do it. All right then. So, yeah. Dr. Nova, where can people find you?
So you can find me at Jonah_Snow on Instagram, where I post a lot of my chef stuff. Very soon, probably within the next week, maybe by the time this goes up, but probably not considering the amount I work, I'll be launching The Bard's Tale, The Bard's Tale is a podcast that has three long-running stories. Each episode is about like 6 to 15 minutes long. The idea is you like a bedtime story, and it's three continuous stories, one aimed toward younger audiences, one aimed toward everybody, and then one aimed at older audiences. And you'll be able to find those pretty soon. I'll have a Podbean set up. And yeah, I'll have that ready pretty soon.
Nice. So, the series we reviewed was all about tackling Ferran Square. But what is not Ferran Square is the YouTube algorithm, a dark abyss of sorrows and woes from which videos like these never resurface. To help me navigate it, you can subscribe if you haven't already, like the video, or share it on social media. You can also help support the show on patreon.com/WensleydaleCheddar. In return for supporting me, you can get rewards such as manga read-throughs, a bonus vlog series about our experiences watching Cannon Busters, or a bonus mini podcast series about our impressions of the Pokemon Sun and Moon anime. Do check that out, and of course do check Dr. Nova's Bard's Tale. That's Bard's Tale, not Bard's Tales, right?
Bard's plural.
Alright then. So, once again, cheers for watching, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time, I guess? Next week? I don't know, we'll figure it out.